And certainly heaven is such a sweet sound to us this morning. I truly love that song. If you're following along this morning, we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1, looking at verses 10 through 12. You know, a man accompanied his friend for dinner and was impressed when he entered his house and asked his wife how her day went and told her that she looked pretty. Then after they embraced, she served dinner. After they ate, the husband complimented his wife on the meal and thanked her for it. When the two fellows were alone, the visitor asked, "Why do you treat your wife so well?" "Because she deserves it, and it makes our marriage happy," his host replied. Impressed, the visitor decided to adopt this idea. Arriving home, he embraced his wife and said, "You look wonderful." For good measure, he added, "Sweetheart, I'm the luckiest guy in the world." His wife burst out into tears. Dumbfounded, he asked her what in the world was the matter. She wept. "What a day. Billy fought at school, the refrigerator quit, and all the groceries was full, and now you come home drunk." You know, she didn't understand her husband's behavior because she had been taken for granted, too, for so long. Many of us take our great salvation for granted and we don't understand. We don't wonder about it anymore and we're not amazed by it. Are you amazed by your salvation even after all these years? With the same amazement that you had when you came out of the baptistry to walk again anew with God? Are we guilty of taking this for granted? Now, Peter, in writing to the persecuted Christians scattered throughout the Roman provinces, wanted them to understand just how great that salvation is. And I think we have to remind ourselves each and every day about what a blessing and how great it is. Let's read our scripture verses this morning in 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12. "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have not yet been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you, even the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things." Oh, the prophets who uttered the words that God gave them, they wanted to know, when is this Messiah coming to save us from our sins, from the wrath that we've brought upon ourselves? Even the angels longed to know when this was going to take place. It was such a great event. And we need to know each and every day that we should feel the same. That each and every day we wake up in the Lord. That this is the greatest day. And every day since our baptism has been the greatest day because we walk with the Lord, no matter what our circumstances. No matter how low things might get for us, we still have salvation. No matter if they come and take your life, they can't take the eternal life from you. You have that salvation. Salvation is a decision we make to accept the gift of the cross. And it's a free gift. It's a gift we don't have to pay for. It's a gift none of us could even attempt to pay for. Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and Donald Trump, and you can put all the rich people together, there's not enough money in this old world to save one sinner. But there is salvation in Christ. The little boy was visiting his grandparents and they gave him his first slingshot. He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit the target. As he came back through Grandma and Grandpa's backyard, he spied her pet duck sitting out there. On an impulse, he took aim and let a rock fly. The stone hit and the poor duck fell dead. The boy panicked and desperately hit the dead duck in a woodpile, only to look up and see his sister was watching. Sadly, Sally had seen it all, but she said nothing. After lunch that day, Grandpa said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." But Sally said, "Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen today. "Didn't you, Johnny?" And she whispered to him, "Remember the duck?" So Johnny did the dishes. Later, Grandpa asked the children if they wanted to go fishing. Grandma said, "I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help me make supper." Sally smiled and said, "That's all right. Johnny will help you make supper." Again, she looked at Johnny and said, "Remember the duck." Johnny stayed while Sally went fishing. After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's, finally he couldn't stand it. He confessed to Grandma that he had killed the duck. "I know, Johnny," she said, giving him a hug. "I was standing at the window, and I saw the whole thing. Because I love you, I forgave you. I wondered how long you would let Sally make a slave of you." You know, I read that story, and it kind of reminded me of how people are slaves to Satan, how they're slaves to the sin that they commit each and every day. But we need to know that we can escape that. If we confess to God, who already knows our sins, He will forgive us and wipe the slate clean. Oh, what a glorious day when we walk before God. And because He sees the blood of Jesus there, He doesn't see all our mistakes. He doesn't see all our sins. He doesn't see all our problems. But He sees the blood of Christ, and like Passover, He says, "Go, my good and faithful servant." We get a pass because Jesus bought us that pass with a price. And that down payment of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. That each and every day, God walks with us and within us. And we take comfort in that. Verse 10, "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with great care." They wanted to know that. They wanted to experience. They wanted to see it. How great it would be for us to be able to go back in time and walk with Jesus and to experience that at that time. They wanted to have something to go into the future, and they wanted to see it and know it and understand it. You know, we have the benefit of all knowledge, all the plans that God made being revealed to us. But they didn't. They had to wonder about it. Grace, as we have seen in the book previously, God's favor showered on us. That's His grace. We who don't deserve it, He does it for us. Grace is the mercy and love God gives to us. And when sometimes we ignore Him, when sometimes we forget what a great gift we have this morning. We neglect Him. Some people curse Him. We disbelieve Him. We fail to love Him. Each and every day, like a loving Father, He calls out to us. And so many of His children don't respond. How would you feel if you couldn't get your children to call you? They never called, they never came, they never had time for you. Oh, they might show up when they needed a loan, when they needed a favor, but were soon gone, not to be seen. That's how God's children, a lot of God's children, treat Him today. He's out there calling to them, wanting to have a relationship with them. But they only pray when the tornado's coming or the hurricane's coming. They only pray when the job's on the line or the job's gone. That's the only time they pray. They never pray and praise God for the good times. They never thank Him for all that they have. They never acknowledge that everything they have comes from Him. You know, they may say, "Well, I earned it. I'm a smart man. I'm a crafty businessman," or whatever. Well, who gave you those smarts? Who gave you that craftiness or that business sense? Who gave you the talent that God gave you today to do the job that you do? Everything we have comes from God. And each and every day, including salvation, we need to remember that. In Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We're all imperfect. And we're going to perish, and because sin has separated us from that eternal source of life, God. But God provided us a way. He didn't have to. We could all be suffering. And we could all been suffering a long time ago with Satan, with his angels. But God sought to separate us from him. He found a way to do it. Salvation is accomplished by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we're baptized, we imitate that death, burial, and resurrection. That death is to our old self, the man of sin, or the woman of sin. That burial is being completely immersed in that water. Not sprinkle the poor. We don't do that. Our loved ones who have passed on before us, we don't sprinkle a little dirt on. And Jesus wasn't buried above ground. Immersed in that burial. And then to rise again and walk as that new man. Now, we may not understand why he wants us to do it, but he wants us to do it. This morning, we read where Jesus in John chapter 14 said, I've called you. He calls a certain person with this Bible. He's not calling the atheist. The atheist is not going to believe it. The scoffers are not going to believe that. The agnostics are not going to accept it. But he calls that person that's going to look at this Bible and says, I believe in God. I can see it in the heavens out there. This is his book that comes down from it. It tried to be destroyed. They tried to destroy his people, and yet it's still here for us. And we can look at it and we can study. We learned this morning in the book of John that Jesus said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commands. And he said, I give you this example. I love my Father. I am keeping his commands. We need to keep those commands in this. So, by doing what Jesus did and participating in that in a symbolic way, in the baptism, we are following what he wants us to do. Verse 11 of 1 Peter 1, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. They wanted to know that. What we have is a precious gift that so many wanted to look into and see. When Jesus was born, that wasn't the time that salvation came into the world. That only came on the cross. But so many faithful Jews were out there saying, it's finally come. The Savior is here in our lifetime. We're going to be able to see it, Lord willing, if we live that long, for this to take place in front of us. And that's the gift we have each and every day, what so many wanted to see. You know, they told the old prophets that God would send a Messiah in this world to die for our transgressions. He would take the guilt of our sin. In other words, take that guilt on himself and bear the punishment that we so deserve. And that God would raise him from the dead and exalt him on the throne of God. The resurrection proves everything that Jesus taught about himself. Everything he predicted. He is that person. And when we leave this earth, we'll be resurrected into that new body. Not the one with all our infirmaries, especially as we get older. Not the one with all the problems we have on this earth. Not the one with all the bills. Not the one with all the aches and pains or anything else you want to chalk up to living on this world. But to a divine body. To a body that God makes perfect. One that will not perish because of the power that God has to sustain us. Thirdly, this morning, salvation is taught in the gospel. It's revealed to us. In verse 12, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke these things. So we learn that it's the gospel. I can't save you. I don't know. I don't have a plan to save myself except for what's written in this Bible. I wouldn't know any other way to atone for my sins. I know no other way to pay God or run away from God and hide from God. Or anything like that in order to escape the wrath that comes to those who don't follow him. God counts our faith as the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we're able to stand in front of God because of Jesus. God counts us as already died in the death of Jesus Christ. So we've already died and been resurrected as a new person, that spiritual person. You know, we learn from the Bible that faith is thicker than blood. You know, the old saying, blood is thicker than water. Well, faith is even thicker than that when it comes to God. And through that faith, God is going to transform us from this life into the next life to walk with him, to stand with him, to praise him, and to experience the glory that is God. We haven't seen it, and we can't. As magnificent as some of the pictures of this universe are that we can see through the telescopes in outer space, they pale in comparison to actually being there. I will be dumbstruck or dumbfounded or whatever you want to call it, and our jaw is going to hang open for millions of years as we experience God. You know, verse 12, even the angels wanted to look into this. It was such a great and glorious event, Jesus coming to this world and dying for it. And it's such a great and glorious event when we take those first steps as a Christian. We should never, ever forget that. You know, when a person works an eight-hour day and receives a fair day's pay for his time, it's a wage. When a person competes with an opponent and receives a trophy for his or her performance, that's prize. When a person receives appropriate recognition for his or her long service or high achievement, that's an award. But when a person is not capable of earning a wage, can win no prize, and deserves no award, yet receives such a gift anyway, that is a good picture of God's unmerited favor. This is what he means when we talk about the grace of God. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We can't win a race with the rest of the world and say, I'm tops and you got to give it to me. We can't say that. But we have the greatest gift in this world. There's not enough gold. There's not enough platinum, silver. There's nothing on this earth that can measure up to your salvation. I guess you could say we truly are the richest people on this planet. Think about it. The richest person on this planet because of eternal life. What you can't buy. You know, they got some people frozen like popsicles in some cryogenic place, hoping that they can thaw them out and repair the cell damage that the freezing process does and cure their cancer or whatever killed them. And they'll live on, you know, 5,000-10,000 years in the future. Well, you can't buy salvation. And they're trying to. They're trying to live forever. But it won't work. God is in control of everything. The angels were amazed at salvation. How much more should we be amazed at God's salvation? You know, if you've never experienced God's salvation today, you can experience it today. If you've fallen back and not let the joy that God wants us to have fill your life, there's time to come back. There's time to change and walk the path that He wants you to do. There's time to make every day a celebration of the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. We truly are the happiest people on this earth if we have that. If we understand it, we should be. And we're the richest because of it. I don't know what your condition is this morning or if you have need of the church, but won't you come as we stand and sing the song invitation?